first sin ever committed was. It was not a sin committed by Adam and Eve. That's where our mind typically goes. Adam and Eve in the garden, first sin ever committed. No, that's the first sin ever committed by man. But the first sin ever committed was by Lucifer, the star of the morning, son of the dawn, and it wasn't committed in the Garden of Eden. It was committed in the heaven of God. And what was his sin? Was it the sin of pride? Yes. But I don't believe it was the sin of pride alone. I think accompanying his sin of pride was the sin of ingratitude. Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And today we want to talk about gratitude. It's a fitting time of year to talk about gratitude. And so as I was thinking this morning about the first ingrate. And the first ingrate was the devil himself. You know, the Bible tells us that three passages in Scripture that speak of Lucifer, who was the most beautiful angel God ever made, who became Satan. Lucifer, the star of the morning, son of the dawn, who became Satan, the father of the night. Three passages that speak of his sin. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, and Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 tells us about the rebellion that the dragon led against the angels, and he got a third of the angels to come with him to rebel against God. And so those three passages tell us about him, because the Bible is not just replete with information about how did this angel become a demon. Some people ask the question, they say, well, why did God create the devil? God didn't create the devil. Lucifer chose to sin, and when he chose to sin, then he got kicked out of heaven, and he made the choice, and God booted him out. But God didn't make a devil. God made a beautiful, beautiful angel. And the Bible tells us this about him in Ezekiel 28. It's the lament over the king of Tyre, T-Y-R-E. And as you read it, you know, hey, the writer is not talking about an earthly king. He's talking about some spiritual power behind this king. And this is what he says. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. This is Ezekiel 28:12. And say to him, thus says the Lord, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, no man has the seal of perfection, and no man is full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So he's talking about someone else, the power behind the throne. You were in Eden. The king of Tyre was not in Eden, but the enemy was in Eden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets. Your pipes and your timbrels. There's some kind of musical quality that the Lord built into this creature that he made that we know as Lucifer. And the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Now, a cherub is not a fat baby angel. A cherub is a mighty angel, and this was the anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there, God says. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. And by the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you out as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities and in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought the fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see. And all who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified or a terror, and you will cease to be forever. Now, God is talking about Lucifer and the fall of Lucifer in Ezekiel 28. Now, we go to Isaiah 14, and this is what we read in Isaiah 14. We read what was going on in his heart. Let me see if I can find it here. He says, "How you have fallen from heaven." This is Isaiah 14, 12. "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn." And King James says, "O Lucifer, star of the morning. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart," these are the five I will statements from Lucifer. He said, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High." And God says, "Oh, no, you will not. You will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." So what was his sin? Well, it says in Ezekiel, his sin was pride. His heart was lifted up. He had the five prideful I will statements. And so pride is definitely at the forefront there, but also the sin of ingratitude. Lucifer was the anointed cherub who covers. He was the guardian angel of God. He was the most beautiful angel that God made. He had the premium spot in heaven. And because of the sockets and the tambourines or timbrels in his makeup, sockets and settings, as the scripture says, because of that, theologians say there's a musical quality to his being. And so many theologians believe that Lucifer was the worship leader in heaven. And the angels would gather to worship God, and Lucifer would lead in the worship, and the worship would come through him to God, and it would be a sweet sound in the Lord's ear. Well, no doubt Lucifer said, "Well, I'm too beautiful, I'm too wise, I'm too glorious for the worship to come through me. I want the worship to come to me. I will make myself like the Most High." He wasn't grateful for the position that he had. He wanted God's place. And God shares his glory with no one else. And when he said, "I will make myself like the Most High," God says, "Oh, no, you will not." And God booted him out of heaven. And as we said, Lucifer, the star of the morning, son of the dawn, became Satan, the father of the night. And the angels that went with Lucifer in the rebellion against God, they were also booted out, and they became filthy, hairy demons. So we have one devil, Lucifer, who was the most beautiful angel, and now he is the leader of the demonic horde, one devil and many demons. But the devil and the demons, they're all fallen angels. And this should give you some comfort. A third of the angels fell. Two-thirds didn't. So we have twice as many holy angels than we have filthy, evil demons. But I want you to think about the ingratitude that was in Lucifer's heart. Instead of being grateful for being the number one angel, being the anointed cherub who covers, being the one who leads the worship in heaven, he wanted more. He wasn't thankful for that. And he said, "No, I need more because I deserve more. I'm better than this." And so that was his terrible, horrible sin. Now, in Numbers chapter 16, we read about the earth opening up its mouth and swallowing the rebellion of Korah and his posse, so to speak. And it's interesting. Moses says to them, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it not enough for you that God, that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? They had a good position and an important position. They were Levites, but they weren't priests. To be a priest, you had to be in the lineage of Aaron. Aaron was a Levite, but it was Aaron's sons who were the priests, and it was those who were just of the tribe of Levi who served and were part of the entourage for the temple and did special service. They were set apart for this. And he says, it's not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has also brought you near, Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all the company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him? They were ungrateful for what they had, and they wanted more. And they said, well, we don't want to just be Levites. We want to be priests. Hey, you know, it is easy, if we're not careful, it is easy to let ingratitude fill your heart. It is so easy to focus on what you don't have and miss out on what you do have. You know, as we gather tomorrow for Thanksgiving, now that's a time of family, it's a time of friends, it's a time of food and festivities and football, if you like football, but most of all, it's a time of faith. Thanksgiving was a time that the pilgrims gave thanks to God, even in the midst of all their hardships, even in the midst of all their struggles. They set aside that time to thank God for his goodness and his grace. And they were grateful. We need to be grateful Christians, humbly grateful and not grumbly hateful, as Adrian Rogers used to say. You know, I think about what went on in Numbers chapter 21 when the people were getting impatient. It says, then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. What are they talking about? What miserable food? The manna. The manna that God rained down on his people. Men did eat the bread of angels, the Bible says. And the manna would, I say that he rained it down, that's one way to look at it, but it would kind of come up, almost like dew on the ground. And they would wake up in the morning and it would be there. And manna was like, it was like coriander seed and it was sweet. It was like wafers filled with honey and you could work with it and cook it and bake with it and that kind of thing. But it was manna, that's just what it was. And it was sustaining. But they had manna every day, manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for supper. And so they got sick of the manna. And they actually said to God, we loathe this miserable food. God didn't owe them manna. God could have said, well, forget it. I'm not giving you anything else. You don't want the manna? Okay, no more manna for you. And then they would have starved to death. They weren't grateful. How did God respond? He sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of the people died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses did so, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Hey, the people recognized that they had sinned by grumbling against God and against God's servant. Hey, how grateful are you? We need to really search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any evil, hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, may we have a grateful heart for all that the Lord has done. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. After the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. Don't go away.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The book of Revelation is more than just a preview of future events. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ, and the Bible promises that one day Christ will return in glory. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches about the second coming of Christ and His eternal kingdom. Join us for the series Final Conquest, this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, in June and September of 2023. And we're going to have a wonderful time seeing Washington and seeing Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. We're going to go there on the Saturday. We're there. Everywhere we go, Stephen McDowell will be giving us a talk on the Christian heritage of America. And that's very important, and it's lost in much of our popular culture today. But Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a dear brother and has been going with me on these tours for many, many years. I just wouldn't do it without him. He is just an invaluable source, if you will, of information. So we're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and George Washington's Mount Vernon. And then we're also going to Jamestown, Williamsburg, and Yorktown. If you want to go with us, then go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are talking about gratitude. Hey, it is such an important time of year as we prepare our hearts for Thanksgiving Day to be grateful. And that's not just for this Thursday, that's for every day. And we said in the top of the broadcast that the sin of Lucifer, the guardian angel of God, was the sin of pride and the sin of ingratitude. He wasn't grateful for the position that God had given him. He wanted more. And we can fall into those same patterns in our lives if we're not careful, and we can become ingrates. We focus on what we don't have and not focus on what we do have. Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer, wrote this poem, "Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't." She was blinded as just a young child, and it was a doctor's mistake. Some quack doctor came and put hot mustard poultices on her eyes as a baby, and it burned out her irises, and she could never see after that. There was nothing wrong with her other than that that procedure that was done to her. And so she could have been a bitter woman, but she said, I refuse to do that. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't. I'm going to focus on what I do have, not what I don't have, and I'm going to give thanks to God, joyously giving thanks to the Lord who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. I would love to hear a testimony from you about being grateful, because that encourages other people. And listen, especially in the difficulties in life, when we're still grateful, when we're still thankful, when we're still praising God, even though life is tough, that is such a testimony to a lost and dying world. Well, we have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your ministry. I listen to you every morning, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to have to change what I was going to say now, because you just summed up my statement. You know what? When I look at other nations where there are people who don't have much food, they don't even hardly have anything but a dirt hut to live in. But even then, you find people who will throw their hands up and say, praise the Lord, because I'm not as bad off as somebody else. And we in America, our worst is something that they dream of. And we think that we have something to be ungrateful for. How dare us? The Lord has blessed even our projects. People living in the projects are rich compared to these folks, you know? And so I'm so thankful for that. And I have faith in my God that not only is he doing this, but he's going to keep us. And you know what? If we have nothing in this world but Jesus, we have everything and everybody we need. So I'm so thankful for the Lord. And I just, this Thanksgiving Day and every day, I just praise the Lord for waking up. Because if I wake up and my leg don't work, praise the Lord, I woke up. If I wake up and I can't eat well, or, you know, it's something else. If I can just see the sun, or even if I can't, if I can feel His Holy Spirit in my heart, I'm thankful. So God bless you, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Shirley. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for encouraging us. You're exactly right. So always look for things that you can praise the Lord about rather than things that you can gripe and moan and groan and complain about. You know, as I mentioned about the children of Israel saying, we loathe this miserable food, speaking of the manna, how could you not be grateful for God performing a miracle every single morning, with the exception of the Sabbath? You know, they would gather twice the amount of food on Friday because the manna did not fall on Saturday on the Sabbath. But how could you not be grateful for that? That was a miracle every morning, that God knows about us. He knows where we are, and He's caring for us. And we could have nothing, but He provides for our needs. You know, it's really sad. When you read the children of Israel, you read about them crossing the Red Sea, which was the greatest Old Testament miracle. I mean, there had never been anything like that before. And God defeated Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time, by drowning them in the sea with such a great miracle, and delivered His people. But in 3 days, Exodus chapter 15, in 3 days, after that great miracle, they're grumbling, griping, and complaining, we don't have anything to drink. What are we going to do, Moses? We have nothing to drink. And they find a pond, but it's the waters are bitter, and so they can't drink it. And it's the waters of Marah. Hey, that's a fitting explanation or picture of what happens in life. You know, you have these mountaintop experiences with the Lord so often, and then you come into a valley, you come into difficulty. And so how are you going to respond in the difficulty? Are you going to grumble and gripe and complain? Are you going to forget the God who just brought you deliverance? Or are you going to still praise Him? I put on our From His Heart Facebook, From His Heart Ministries Facebook page, somebody had taken this quote that I had preached a while back, and it says this: the greatest witness we can give a lost and dying world is to face the worst of life with the best of attitudes, continuing to praise God no matter what. You know, Thanksgiving is faith turned inside out. Thanksgiving says, God, I know you're over it all. God, I know I can trust you. God, I don't understand perhaps what is taking place in my life. I don't understand the circumstances, but I don't have to understand. I just know that you're over it. You are the God who is sovereign over all, King of kings and Lord of lords, and I trust you. You are going to work this together for good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. Well, Shirley, thank you so much for calling. God bless you, my sister. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Well, we have Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I enjoy your show. I got so much. I'm 72 years old. I was born in 1951, and I thank God that I was growed up when I did. This was a lot different country when I growed up. And I thank God that I had a godly mother and father. They made me go to church. There wasn't no question or no discussion was I going. We had a drug problem. We were drugged to church every time the door was open. And I thank God as I've got older for that. I thank God for my mom and dad. Things they showed me and taught me, money can't buy. And I just think that I lived at a time when I seen a good America, America that loved God. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, but back then people would get happy in church and shout and raise their hands, and they were dedicated people. And I thank God, you know, I just lived a little house, two bedrooms and one bath, but it's all I need. And I thank God that I'm content with what I have. And I thank God I was married 50 years this year. I thank God he let me live on this earth to see my grandkids. He let me see my one son grow up, and he let me see my grandkids grow up. And I just got so much. And I really thank God that I don't know why, but he chose me. Mm. And because I haven't done anything worthy to be a chosen, but I'm one of the remnant. We have a remnant in this country, and I thank God that I'm one of those remnant. And I thank God that there's still people like you that care enough to be on the TV or on the radio every day and give their lives and, you know, for the truth. The truth is out there. There's no reason for anybody in America to go to hell, because we've had more gospel even than the nation of Israel. They had one prophet at a time. We got a church where I live, three or four churches in a block. Right. And I just thank God for my life, for watching over me as a teenager, and the time that I grew up. I'm glad I grew up in a time when we didn't have all this technology. Right. People would actually talk to each other and gather around the table, you know, and that's gone.
Yes. Well, I hope that comes back, especially for Thanksgiving time, that there's good conversation around the table. I would encourage all parents to make a rule for this Thanksgiving. Eat at the table together, no devices, so that there's good conversation. Lee, thank you so much for calling in today. I appreciate your grateful heart, my brother, and I appreciate all the things that the Lord has done for you, and it's all of grace, because none of us deserve any of it. No one is worthy. As the parable says in Luke 17, we're all unprofitable servants. We've done only that which was commanded. And so the Lord is so good to us, and we always want to give him thanks. So 1 John 3, so if you think you don't have anything to thank God for, your life is just, everything is falling apart. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. Listen, God has showered us with his love by giving us his Son, and of his fullness we've all received, and grace upon grace. So we have much to thank the Lord for. So thank you, Lee, for calling in. We have Phil on the line from Iowa. Phil, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to hear you encouraging us to step into a position of thankfulness in the middle of the storm.
Amen.
I thought you were going to give what I called about just a second ago when you said take the worst of life and turn it into praise, because that is what I'm calling to thank God for, that his faithfulness and his spirit has actually broken a yoke of ungratefulness for me in bemoaning what I didn't have, and all the while not recognizing the precious grace, the precious presence, and the purpose that God had for my life. And I think often about Joseph, who said, the enemy meant it all for harm, and even the brothers meant it for harm. But his position was, praise God, that it was all allowed for good, that many might be saved. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful for God's faithfulness in my life to actually sabotage the inner voices, sabotage the history, the baggage, and come out actually being victorious from the deepest part of my being. And I appreciate the opportunity to share his grace.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. You're exactly right. And you know, the scripture says of the Lord, he does all things well. And so I've said before from the pulpit, hey, when we get to heaven and we see things from God's perspective and how he worked, because we, from our perspective now, we can't see that. But when we see it, we're going to say, Lord, you did everything perfectly well. You know, now I see why this happened and that happened and the other thing happened. God is in charge, and we can trust him. Hey, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unless God allows it. So he's in charge of all things, and God doesn't forget where you are, who you are, and what's going on in your life. He knows, and he is working, and oftentimes he puts us into the furnace of affliction to just burn the dross out of our lives, and so that we can come forth as gold. That's what Job said. When he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. So thank you for that, Phil. Well, we have Kim from Tennessee on the line. Kim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I realized this morning that every Thanksgiving we get together, my family, hold hands and say what we're thankful for. And it's always about, I'm thankful for my family, I'm thankful for some material thing. But the thing that I'm most thankful for is teachers, or are teachers who are willing to teach people how to read. And the reason I say that is because I am so grateful and thankful that I have my senses to read God's word. And even if I were not able to read God's word, I can hear it, into, you know, it can be read to me, or I can listen to it on an app. So I am thankful for the ability to have my senses to read God's word, to hear God's word. I'm grateful to the person who taught me the truth of the gospel of God's word. And I just don't think that there's any better gift that I have been given than the ability to know the truth about God and the ability to read his word to learn more about him.
Amen. That's good. That's good, Kim. You know, that's a good encouragement to all of us is the people that taught you early on in your Christian life, the people that were very instrumental in teaching you how to walk with God, how to read the word, how to have a quiet time. It would be great at Thanksgiving time to send them a note or call them up and just say, hey, the Lord put you on my heart. You made a big difference in my life, and I just want to say thank you. It doesn't have to be a long text or email or phone call or letter. It just needs to be something that lets them know, hey, God used you in my life, and I am grateful. And some, you know, here's the wonderful thing. God can use people that you don't even know, because God uses preachers in people's lives. God used Adrian Rogers in my life in a great, great way. And I only met Adrian Rogers a few times in my life, and it wasn't like we were pals or anything. But just listening to him preach the word made such an impact in my life. So I encourage you to do that. to let that person know, in even if it's somebody that you don't know, but it's a preacher that's really ministered to you, send an email to them. Let them know, hey, you're making a difference in my life. I know from my point of view that when I get a note like that from an inmate or from somebody watching on television, listening on the radio, it makes a difference. It encourages me, and it says, keep going. What you're doing is making a difference. So you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about gratitude. The phone lines are open right after the break, 888-589-8840. Don't go away.
When you hear
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
This is Bible League International, urging you to support our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Pastor Roos's 3 children were kidnapped and murdered by a terrorist cell that hates Christians. Instead of retaliating, the church shared the gospel with neighboring villages, and would you know it, 200 have come to Christ. Some of those affiliated with that terrorist cell, they're praying for Bibles. And elsewhere, Ephraim's store was destroyed in Cairo, Egypt, by radicals opposing the Christian tracts that he displayed on the counter of his convenience store. He has no money to rebuild, but he has shared the gospel with those who persecuted him, inviting them to Bible studies in his home, and over 100 have come to Christ in the Middle East. They're praying for Bibles. Our goal is to bless 16,000 Bible-less persecuted believers with their very own copy of God's Word. We're a third of the way there, so at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20 in this season of giving. Would you pray about it and then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. Send Bibles Now.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I am fighting, if you can't tell, I am fighting some kind of sickness, drainage and a sore throat and all that stuff that goes along with it. But man, I've been throwing the kitchen sink at this. I've been taking more pills and vitamins and all sorts of gargles, saltwater gargles, and Z-Pack, and I don't know how all that stuff works together, but anyway, hopefully I'm turning the corner and I'll be ready to go for Thanksgiving. And my daughter and son-in-law and grandson Jack came in last night late at 11, and Amy, my middle daughter, is getting ready in February to give birth to her second son, and we're excited about that. And so my daughter from Little Rock is coming in later today, and we're all going to be together at Thanksgiving, and it's such a special time. My oldest daughter Jill, she and her husband Jay, they live here in Texarkana. Jay's our media director, and he helps me with the program every morning, along with Randy, our producer. at American Family Radio. And so their two kids, Emmy and Lyndon, we're all going to be together for a great Thanksgiving. Hey, as we talk about gratitude, and I would love to hear your story of being grateful. We've had some great calls today. The number to call is 888-589-8840. This is what the scripture says, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, not desiring more and more and more. That's what that word means. Being content, not desiring more and more with what you have. And what do you have? As a believer in Jesus, what do you have? For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Hey, he has said, so that we may confidently say. That's how it works in the Christian life. We take what God says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We take what God says and we stand upon that. And so if the Lord says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And as you've heard me say before, there's five negatives in that Greek construct. I will not never, never leave you. I will not never forsake you. Bad English, double negatives, triple negatives, but great theology. And so the Lord is saying in the strongest of terms, I'm never, ever, ever going to leave you or forsake you. And so that we can confidently say, because he has said, we can confidently say, hey, you know what? The Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid because he's with me. What will man do to me? In my situation, I have the Lord Jesus Christ right here with me. He is my helper. As David said, very interesting, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides, I've lost it. I had it for so many years in my mind. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Then verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He changes it from third person to you, to second person, you. You are with me. It's not he. He's not talking in third person anymore. He's talking directly to God, for you are with me. And so we just know when we go through difficulties, hey, God's with us and we don't need to fear any evil because nobody can mess with God. The Lord is with me, as Jeremiah said, like a dread champion. And so he has said so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? I'm not going to be afraid. Now we have Nick on the line from Texas. Nick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
How you doing, Pastor Jeff? I called in to give you something to be grateful for because I'm going to tell you how to get well.
Yes, sir.
Have you taken any oil of oregano yet?
I have not.
Let me tell you something. Oil of oregano will kill almost anything. If you look it up, oil of oregano and garlic are both natural antibiotics. And, you know, it's good that you're taking the Z-Pax. How much zinc are you taking every day?
I take, I don't know how much, but I take a pill of zinc every day. I take a lot of pills, a lot of vitamins.
I'd be getting some zinc lozenges, and I mean, you can take up to 100 milligrams of zinc every day. But yeah, I'd get some oil of oregano capsules. You don't want to buy the tincture, because if you've never taken oil of oregano, it'll let it just a little tiny, tiny speck will knock your head off. But you'll take it. Yeah, that, and you probably, with all your guests coming in, you probably don't want to eat a whole bunch of raw garlic, but if you can get some garlic capsules, but that'll get you well.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
I didn't even know you were sick, but yeah, you may remember me. I called you and your lovely wife about 6 months ago. I'm the guy that went to the store and the really nice Christian.
Oh, yeah. I do remember
she said, if you if you're looking at all at the physical aspects in a mate and a potential mate, that means you're spiritually immature. But you know what's funny? I blooped off on you that morning. I never got your answer, but I did record it, so I got to go back and find the recording. I had the recorder on the other line, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, well, I appreciate you listening to the program, Nick. I appreciate your recommendation on oil of oregano. I've never tried that, so I'll have to give that a go. I'm game for anything. When I'm sick, I want to get well ASAP, so I hate being sick. All right, my brother, thank you for calling in. We have Thomas from Louisiana on the line. Thomas, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. Man, I love you, brother. I've been following you for years and years and years, from Channel 6 preaching to From His Heart and now this program. But what I wanted to talk to you about was a testimony about my dad.
Okay.
When I was a kid, my dad was the greatest guy in the world. And then something happened in his career when I was about 6 years old. And for the next 35 years, he was the meanest man I ever met. And I mean, gosh, unbelievably mean. But he came down with esophageal cancer in 1980. Well, he came down with a cancer about 92, but he had a bad bout with his esophagus in about 88, and the doctor told him he had to quit drinking. Well, I always thought he was an alcoholic, but he told the doctor okay, and he never touched another drop. Well, at that point, he wasn't able to medicate himself out of reality and had to start facing reality. He started reading his Bible. And he was truly born again. Hmm. It's just a miracle.
Yeah. How long ago was that, Thomas?
He passed away in 96, so we're talking about, 26 years. But, I remember the last thing him telling the doctor was funny to me. My dad was a sergeant in the Air Force, and he called my dad Sarge. He said, "Well, Sarge, you look kind of depressed. What's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm not getting any better." He said, "What's on your mind?" And my dad said, "My precious grandkids." So, I know how you are. You got a grandchild and you got one on the way, so you can identify with what he said.
Yeah. No, I have three and one more on the way. So, two girls, and we're getting ready to have our second boy.
Oh, great, great. Yeah. Well, I misunderstood what you said a while ago. But, one time after he was saved, he and a pastor were in Walmart in Minden, and they about to part ways, and my dad said, "Well, let's pray before we part ways." And the pastor said, "Well, we're in the middle of Walmart." And my dad said, "I ain't ashamed to pray at Walmart." And I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can make.
Yeah, it gives you boldness. You're not ashamed of Jesus, and you want the world to know that you belong to Him. So that's great. Thomas, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your kind words of encouragement to me, and what a great testimony about your dad and the Lord just changing his life. You know, that's what the Lord does. He's in the life-changing business, and He can take the vilest offender who truly believes, as the song says, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. You know, the Apostle Paul, that was his testimony. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. The Osama bin Laden of his day, so to speak, when it came to Christianity. He was trying to destroy Christianity. But he said, God had mercy on me, and God took that a vile enemy of the cross and turned him into the greatest witness for the cross, and a man that you couldn't deny. They tried to kill Paul because they said his life is such testimony of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can't deal with this. Well, let's switch gears a little bit to say, how do you give thanks when you're hurting? Because I know that there are many who are hurting. We have some dear people in our church who are facing difficulties, especially with children. One young couple is their daughter needs, she's only a couple months old. She needs a heart transplant. And that is extremely difficult to deal with. And so how do you give thanks in the midst of that? Well, the Bible says this, Psalm 50, verse 23, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." You know, sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice. Sometimes thanksgiving is through tears. Sometimes it's through clenched teeth. Sometimes it's through, you know, everything within you is so frustrated and just wants to scream. But then you say, "Lord, but I trust you. Lord, you are truly, he is good." 2 Chronicles 7:3 is a verse that every Christian needs to know. Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. And in the midst of the worst of life, you can say, "But God, I know that you are good and that you love me. And when I know that I know that I know that I know that you are good and you love me, I can trust you." And then I add Romans 8:28 to 2 Chronicles 7:3, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we say, hey, somehow, some way, God is going to work this together for good. It doesn't mean what you're going through is good. It means that God is going to take what you're going through and he is going to work it by the chemistry of the cross, work it together for good in your life. That's why James chapter 1 tells us, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, it's through those hard times that God really teaches us. It's through those, as Dr. Chris Schroeder and I were talking just the other day, it's through those dark nights of the soul that God really helps us grow. You know, the ones that God uses the most are the ones that go through the most difficulty in life. Joseph was used, the book of Genesis, Joseph was used so greatly. They called him Zarephath-Paniah. That was his Egyptian name, which means savior. He was the savior because he came up with the plan of what to do. He interpreted the dream and said, "This is what we need to do in the 7 years of plenty to face the 7 years of famine." But he went through such tremendous pain and heartache and rejection. And, you know, it's interesting about Joseph. Nothing negative is said about him in Scripture. Nothing negative is said about Daniel in Scripture. But Daniel went through a lot of pain and difficulty. And so David, the Psalms are just replete with all the stuff David went through. Hey, the ones that God wants to use the most, he has to wound the most so that they can learn through the school of hard knocks that they can trust God, that God is good always, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and God is the God of might and miracle, and we can trust him even in the hard times. Nobody went through as many hard times as Job did, but yet the book of Job stands as a testimony of Job's faith. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And the big question from Satan to God, does Job fear God for nothing? And the answer at the end of the book of Job was yes. Job feared God, served God, loved God for nothing, just for God, because God is worthy, worthy, worthy. We give him such tremendous praise when we trust him and praise him and we're grateful even in the hard times. So let me encourage you, regardless of what's going on in life, take some time this Thanksgiving season. Take some time and just get alone with God. Pour out your heart to him, tell him what's going on, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. If you can't rejoice in the circumstances, just rejoice in the Lord and say, "Lord, life is hard right now, but I trust you because truly you're good, truly your loving kindness is everlasting." Hey, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And the Lord says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, "The one who honors me, him will I honor." Hey, have a great day. Make it a great day today as you shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And look forward to having a great Thanksgiving time with my family. I hope you do with your family. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.